You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes.
Hi, this is Catherine Itell Belt, and you're watching the Best Practice Show.
Hey guys, thanks for watching the Best Practice Show. We take a look at the best business practices from the best dental practices all over the world. And if you're a dentist or a team member trying to create change, you're already noticing there's a missing middle piece. And we've got one of the world experts on here, Catherine Itell Belt, who's going to help us understand what real change looks like and maybe one of the pieces that you're missing. And you're going to see this woman is brilliant. She is one of our coaches, and my coaches love our coach in Catherine Itell. So you do not want to miss this. You want to grab a pen and hit the share button. You're going to love this. Now, a couple show notes before we get going on this. We are shooting this live on Facebook. So as you're watching this, if you have questions, add them to the feed and I'll ask Catherine herself while she's on the show. Or if you have questions later on, like a lot of you are watching these after hours and things like that, continue to add questions to the feed and you'll see. We'll do our best to get back to you because we want you to get the most out of this while you're watching these. And then again, thank you so much for sending all of your suggestions for shows and content that you guys want to see. We are now up over 39,000 followers on Facebook, over 150,000 of you had visited us on iTunes, and just all we can say is thank you. Now, my guest today, Catherine Itell Belt. Catherine, I've known you for a long time. I've watched you as a great speaker. You've been one of the great influencers on my life, and just how you think is one of my favorite things. We were talking about this before we get started. I know who you are. Our coaches know you are. A lot of people in our community know who you are. But if somebody's watching this like a dental student, they've never experienced you or seen you speak or anything like, can you give us a little background on who you are and what you do?
Yeah, sure. I come from dentistry, so I love dentistry. It's not the only industry I work in right now, but it's still the bulk of our business. And I was a chairside dental assistant. I also ran the front office of a really busy multiple doctor practice. So I know that world, and I come from there. I today own a company called Lion Speak. That is an outshoot of several decades of consulting. Now we specialize, we've sort of narrowed our niche, and we specialize in communications coaching only. And we do that in three different lanes or sections. One lane is patient-facing communications, so telephone skills, financial conversations, treatment presentation, those kinds of, if it's a team member to a client or patient, then we coach on that. We have a pretty robust mystery shopper call program and that kind of thing. And then the middle lane is team-facing communications. So building team culture, personal leadership, building a culture of people who communicate with non-judgment and with success and higher levels of accountability. So all of that's in that lane. And then our third lane is, we call it audience facing. So for people who want to become a better public speaker, for people who want to be a great trainer or workshop leader or internal trainer in their company, we have a Train the Trainer program and a Train the Speaker program. So that's Lion Speak in a nutshell.
Yeah, and if you haven't seen anything she does, go see it because you're going to love it. It's very engaging. And Lori Owens is watching right now, and she says she is my is truly my hero. So thank you, Lori.
Oh, how nice. Hi, Lori.
Yeah, and I love, you know, the communication part, as most people figure this out, this is hard, okay? This is not easy. And dentists often get involved. You've been doing this for a long time. Dentists get involved. They start a business and they go, wow, the teeth part is easy, but the people part is the hard part. Let's talk about why this topic is so important. Change and then communication internally with your team members or communication, period.
Period. I think we're in a really interesting time in history, in the history of our industry and the history of the world. You know, I'm married to a retired fifth grade school teacher. And he said to me once, you know, he had seen one of my presentations. It was actually on what we call courageous conversations. And after that presentation, he said, you know, Kathy, when I taught fifth graders, math was important, science is important, history is important, all that. He said, but if fifth graders could learn these skills and have the ability to resolve conflict well, to communicate what they need well, we would live in a different world. We would have a different workforce today if we could start them early. So to some degree, in our defense, we didn't get that in fifth grade. We didn't get it in high school. We didn't. If we got it at home, if it was modeled for us at home or at work, we were lucky, because most of us don't have good models there. So I think that's one of the reasons, Kirk, that it's so important and that it seems so hard. Here's the truth. It's actually not that hard. It's just that we hold on to old ways of thinking and old models, and we don't reach out for a new model. We hold on to the old one, even though it's not working. It's not producing great results for us. But actually, the new models that make it a lot easier aren't that hard. They're really not that hard. Yeah.
Right.
I'm a big fan of keeping it simple, you know?
Well, simple's not easy. Simple is hard sometimes. You got to learn
sometimes.
New things. Now, I want you to speak on this too, because you get to see this. Conflict, there's two thoughts that I had. Number one is conflict doesn't go away. You know, we think when we build a business that there's not going to be any conflict. I've found that the better you get, the more potential there is for conflict.
Sure.
And the second thing that I've learned the hard way is that unresolved conflicts usually become a crisis. What's been your experience in those two realms?
100% that. 100%. All we do is layer. We layer one layer on top of the next layer on top of the next layer. And what happens in that layering of conflict, unresolved conflict, is they're unmet expectations. That's what conflict is. It's unmet expectations. And so we continue to build a story that actually is mostly not true. We're sort of making it up. We give things meaning. We think people are meaning things they don't mean. And so it becomes this out of proportion. I can't tell you how many times I've helped to facilitate conflict conversations, and how many times people say to me that wasn't at all what I thought it was, or I was surprised that we were as closely aligned as we were. I thought we were much further apart on this issue. And so I think that's the norm, is that we just, we let it get so far out of hand that it becomes this story that isn't even really true. So that's for sure. Here's what I'd love to throw in the mix. I think we avoid and sort of are afraid of, or just feel negatively toward the idea of conflict or a disagreement, right? Because our experience, I mean, it's fair enough. Our experience has not been good. We go in to deliver this conversation or resolve the conflict, and it typically doesn't go very well. And so why would we love it? Of course we don't. When we don't love anything, we don't get relatively good predictable results on. We don't love it. And so, but imagine, Kirk, if we had, if we could change the results we were getting really easily, and suddenly conflict wasn't something we avoided, it wasn't something we feared, and maybe even, this is going out on a limb, we actually looked forward to it. We actually looked forward to the conversations where we knew we had some disagreement. I teach, as I said, I teach speakers, you know, to be better speakers or people who want to speak. And one of the biggest worries they have is what happens when someone in my audience challenges me from on the stage, right? It's a speaker's worst nightmare is that somebody's going to act out in the audience and we're going to be challenged and embarrassed on the stage. And so I say to my trainees, I say, this is going to make you, you're going to think I'm lying, and I'm telling you this is the truth. Once you figure out a couple of little steps and tricks and a method, I actually am disappointed if it doesn't show up in my audience. If I walk away and there was no conflict, there was nobody that challenged me, there was nobody that had a different opinion, I'm actually a little disappointed for two reasons. One, I don't get to practice. I don't get to practice that skill that I want to practice. And number two, I don't get a chance to demonstrate to that audience and the world that there's a better way to go about this, that we don't have to fear it, and we actually can have some fun and enjoyment in it. So that's been a huge part of how we feel. You know, if we could change the frame, then the whole picture looks different.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited for you to change the frame because I'm going to need your help. You guys are watching this. You know how important this is because I hate conflict, you know, and I've learned that there sometimes you just got to have it. And then thinking positively about an outcome, that is helpful. But I'm so excited that we're going to be talking about this subject. And I'm going to add one more piece. One of the first lectures I did in New York and Long Island, and I was speaking, and that happened to me. One guy goes, "Not true." I was like, and it's nerve wracking. And now you can just play with it. You can have a little fun with it, you know, and you can honor differences, which I think is a great thing. Not necessarily just fight your point, but I'm going to be very excited to see how you share this all with everybody else. Yeah. In this change process. Now, today we're going to be talking about the missing middle piece for creating real change. But I have one foundational question. Okay. Can people change? That's my question. You've been doing this a while now.
Well, I think people can grow.
They can grow. Okay.
They can grow. You know, we're who we are.
Right.
We're who we are. But I feel like I'm way better at these conversations because I've grown. I'm a much better speaker than I used to be because I've grown. I'm a better leader. I'm a better coach. I'm a better parent. You know, I'm a better wife because I've grown. And so I think that's what it is. Can we grow people? Not necessarily change them. That's sort of the focus.
Right.
I know I skirted a yes or no answer, but that's
no. I love how you frame that up because it's different thinking. And again, you guys, this is why I love Catherine so much. It's number one, she's a master at verbal skills, but the thing that's behind your verbal skills that's so powerful is your thinking. That's the part I enjoy the most. So take us through the thinking on the three steps. Now you mentioned there's two steps that we always do when we're trying to create change, but we miss the middle step, which, as you told me, I'm like, oh my gosh, I always miss that step. So take us through that.
So this is anything that you really want someone to do different because you know it will be better for them or better for the business. So let's say something simple. You have a new employee or maybe a current employee, but you have a new technology. And now we need to train them. We need them to utilize the technology or work it into their routine or something. So it could be something as simple as that. Or it could be something as complex as everyone on our team is going to master conflict better. You know, it could be, but anytime we want people to start doing things better, I have found as a trainer that for years, and this was really up until about a year ago, Kirk, I had the method of I teach what I want. I teach the new process or the new technology or what buttons to push or, you know, I would teach it on a whiteboard or somehow. And then I would set them to practicing it because I did know from all of the study I've done on adult learning and how the adult brain works that people actually only hear it when I'm teaching it. but they learn it when they're doing it, when they are doing it or talking about it, right? And so I had that down. But what I realized about a year ago is there was this sweet little spot in the middle that I was jumping over. And that is the step of demonstration. So a lot of my work, you know, comes from something I call the Lioness Principle. And that principle is a lesson that is gleaned from how a lioness teaches her cubs to hunt. And one of the things that scientists know she does is she creates an environment that is safe for them to learn in, make some mistakes in. She creates that safety. And then she brings in what they need to know and begins to teach them. So she's teaching them how to hunt. That's the skill they need to survive. So she brings in these little, at first she brings in like a little lizard or a little, a grasshopper, so something small, a little snake or something like that. And she drops it into the den. And when it begins to move, they instinctively begin to play with it. And so what she's doing is she's bringing the ultimate skill they need to survive in as play, in this little form of play. But they're learning. But the very next thing she does, once they start to come outside that den, is she takes them to the savanna, to the edge of the savanna, and she and the other lionesses orchestrate a hunt. Mm-hmm. And their job is to watch it. And what she's doing is that middle step of demonstration. Because lionesses hunt in collaborative ways. They don't hunt in a solo attempt. They actually work together. So they need the cubs to see all the intricacies of it and to be believers that they can make this happen. And then they put the cubs to trying it on their own. And I was skipping that step. And I think a lot of people that are in, they're either a coach or their internal, you know, we both know that the industry's changed a lot in the last 5 or 10 years. There's a lot of group practice consolidation. There's a huge upsurge and uptick of DSO formations. And what, I don't know if you're experiencing this, but I'm seeing a lot of people who were really good at their jobs. They were good at their tasks. They were good schedulers, or they're a good hygienist, or they're a good doctor. And they're being promoted now as these bigger organizations form, they're being promoted into what are essentially management level. They're a team lead, or they're an internal trainer for the other hygienist or something. And so they're moved into these positions, but no one's ever given them the skills to teach and to lead with courageous conversations. And so I think that a lot of us need to know the art of helping people learn, and especially adults to learn. And so I'll give you a great example of the demonstration, and it actually relates to comedy. When I teach that course, I speak all over the country on that subject called Courageous Conversation. I'll teach a four-step process. So I have slides, I have PowerPoint, you know, I have all these stories and things, and so I teach it. And then I used to make everybody find a partner, and then I'd give them a scenario and they'd have to practice. Now, I say to the group while I'm teaching, I say, I want you to be thinking, as you're listening to this and learning this, I want you to be thinking of a conversation that you've been avoiding. It could be a personal conversation or a professional. And when we're done, I'm going to ask for some volunteers. So I think most of the audience thinks I'm going to have them roll. So when I'm all done teaching, then I say, all right, so you've been thinking about a conversation. You've been thinking about it this whole time. I want a few volunteers, and we are going to roll, right, with a twist. And here's the twist. The twist is, I'm going to be you in the conversation. You are going to play the part of the other person. I'm going to show you that we've never met. You didn't preheat me on what your issue is or what your problem was. And so I don't know what you're going to say, but I do know and believe and trust in my process. Yeah. And I want to show to you, all of you, that if you believe and trust this process, you don't have to know what the other person is.
Right.
You feel empowered to do this. And so, Kirk, I take 3 or 4 volunteers, and I cannot tell you what happens in the room. It really is this tidal wave of buying in. They buy in. You know, it's like social proof. They
yeah.
see it and they believe it. And then after they believe it, then I turn them to get a partner and go practice. And they seem to be much more willing and really more intentional about the practice because they believe that it's going to work.
Right. Yeah. Right. And I love this middle step. And again, I've never heard you describe the Linus principle that way. And it makes so much sense now because it's a safe learning environment.
Yeah.
My question to you is, why do you think a lot of people skip the second step? Because it makes such logical sense. Is it because we don't have enough time? Are we a little defensive when it comes to conflict? Is it too uncomfortable? Because it makes sense to demonstrate that behavior.
Yeah, I think we're afraid. I know that, like you were saying, like I bet after that experience in one of your first speeches, then forever after that, you're worried that somebody like that's going to be in your audience. You know, we're sort of afraid that we might not be able to handle it, or that they'll give us something. And so I always preface mine. I say, so here, I only have a couple of ground rules. So I take my first volunteer and I say, here are my only ground rules. The only ground rule is, I don't want to waste everybody's time by focusing on something that an unreasonable person would do.
Right.
Because what is the percentage of truly unreasonable people? It's small.
Yeah.
You know, it's so we could spend all of our time on the 2% of people that are kind of crazy, right? I don't have a system that works on crazy. Okay. I have a system that works on normal, rational people, reasonable people. But normal, reasonable, rational people can be angry. They can be passive aggressive. They can be defensive. They can be, you know, resistant. So you can be all of those things. You just can't be unreasonable. So I want you to be real, and I want you to be everything this person would be, but don't be more than they would be. You know, don't be more than they would be. Because if your goal is to show that this doesn't work, I can save you the trouble. Right? I can save you the trouble.
Right, because they'll go out of their ways to make it work. Yeah. And that makes so much sense. I mean, you need a reasonable person. And as you were saying, crazy, like, it's a small percentage. But the one thing I've learned is that crazy people don't know they're crazy. Like, they don't know. They think they're being completely rational. And you're like, oh, my gosh.
But you and I and most people, we would walk away from irrational. If someone was irrational, we're just going to walk away. So I say to my person, I say, I'm going to walk away from you. I'm going to ask you to have a seat if you become irrational. But if you're rational, it, like, for example, if a rational person would respond positively to the question I ask you, then I'm expecting that you will do that.
Yeah.
If you think, even if I was angry, I would say yes to that. You
know? Yeah.
And that's all I'm asking. Just be reasonable. And,
yeah.
And so I find that I've only had it happen once where I gave that little speech and someone was still irrational. And I just said, you know what? And the whole group knew. And I said, I would say in real life, I would walk away from that. And so I'm going to take my next volunteer. And I just turned and took my next volunteer. And so, you know, the group was a believer then that I wasn't going to play around with that. So, but I think once you set some context like that, then you can practice. I'll give you one more example, and then I think we ought to do it. I think we ought to practice. But I'll give you a different example. This morning, I did a webinar. We have a group of people who subscribe to a program that we offer called the Superstar Telephone Program. And it's a training program to turn your people on the front lines into superstars on the phone. And so people in that program have access to quarterly webinars that we do to train them. And we did one of those this morning, and it was focused on how to handle the insurance question, the question that really throws a lot of administrators. Are you on my PPO? Are you a provider? Well, when the practice is not a provider, they struggle with that question. So that the whole webinar was about that. So we played a mystery shopper call. We analyzed it as a group. And then my trainer, my co-trainer and I, we said, we want to demonstrate for you using the techniques we've just been talking about. We want to demonstrate how that call could have gone different and better had we asked the right questions, had we steered it in the right way. And so she and I demonstrated this call going much better, even though we really didn't practice it. And I told her, do you feel like you need to practice it? And she said, no. And so we just did it live on the, and so you could feel it was live, it was raw, it was real. And I think that causes our audience to be much more convinced that if I have the right tools, I can also just go live and I can do better. And then we got people. So I think if you're teaching phone skills or a simple skill, don't skip over this. If you know how to do it and you're teaching it because you've already mastered it, teach it, demonstrate it, prove to them that it works and that they can trust, and then get them to practice.
Yeah. Now we actually have a good scenario. Our friend Lori Owens is introducing. She said, dental admin team have one of the hardest conversations, you know, around money. Catherine, how can this be supported by the rest of the team? You know, when one of the team members has to have one of the hardest conversations around money with a patient.
So I'm not sure I understand the question. Is she wanting to know how other team members can support the administrator or the system? Or I'm not sure what the question is.
Yeah, I guess the essence of the question is how can this be supported by the rest of the team? Let's say a dental admin team member has to have one of the hardest conversations around money with a patient. Let's say a patient's being a little challenging, or maybe you can see there's conflict, because that happens at the front desk. Patient go, "Oh my gosh, I'm not paying that. That's ridiculous."
Right.
You know, by the and she just chimed in, by the conversation they have, you know, I guess, how can the rest of the team support this, or how would you handle that type of conflict in a practice?
Well, I'm going to assume something. So I hope I'm on the right track. Let's say an administrator has handled it to the best of her ability, and she wants to make sure that no matter who that patient talks to in the practice, that they're going to get pretty much a similar answer, right? That we're all on the same team and that our answer will be the same. So if I was going to sit down with my team and talk about that, first of all, one of the things you always want to do in conflict, and this would apply if you and I were on the stage or if we were talking to our teenager, it doesn't really matter. The first thing you have to establish is, what does this other person want? What is it they want in relation to this thing we're disagreeing? So in other words, what does the team want? Does the team want a particular reputation for the practice? Does the team want to have things be easier and more sustainable or succinct or to go smoother? What do they want? And once I go, okay, what I want them to do and what they want, mesh.
Right.
Then I can take this conversation in a great way. So here's a great example. If we're on the stage and somebody says, like they said to you, "That's not true," right? Or let's say a teammate says to Lori, "You know what, Lori, that's not the way I would have handled that with that patient," right? So now we have conflict, we disagree. So before I start, what typically we do is we start to defend our position in order to convince the other person. So what I say is, let's think about how could I figure out something they want that my request could get them. So to the guy that says, "That's not true," I would say, "Oh, you know, I'm so glad you stood up. And thank you for that, because if you're thinking it, there may be other people who are also thinking that. So, sir, can I ask you, do you remember what you were talking on, Kirk? Do you remember your?"
Yeah, it was on insurance, moving away from insurance and truly having patients pay for things that they value in a way that you could, over time, you know, truly practice in a fee-for-service environment. And he just thought it was so outrageous. And you guys come in here and you throw this whole fee-for-service thing at all of us. You don't know what we're dealing with. That's not true. You act like it's so easy. That's just not, it's not how it works, type of a thing.
Okay. So don't be crazy, but be that guy, Kurt.
Okay.
Be that guy. Okay.
You know, you don't understand, like, PPOs, they're sucking the life out of me. They send these contracts, they change the rules. Then they send me a binder 30 days before that's this thick. I throw it in the trash. I don't really. And out here, it's all driven by, you know, corporate environment. We got all these people. Like, you guys think patients want to pay for dentistry. Half my patients, they schedule, then they don't show up. And, you know, the other thing, too, I try to find great team members. And you guys talk about finding great team members. I put out an ad and people don't even answer the ad. Sometimes it's hard enough to get somebody to answer the ad that even speaks English, blah, 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 you know, blah, 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 blah. There's no good people out there. I've looked everywhere. I've been on Indeed. I've been on dentalpost.net. I've been everywhere. There's no great people. Well, you know, like I get
great. Great. Okay, stay in character. All right. So thank you. Thank you so much for, because I feel like if you have that concern, which I can see is real for you,
right,
other people must have it too. So first of all, thank you. And secondly, I just have a, is it okay if I ask you a couple of questions just so I'm clear?
What you go. You ask me whatever you want, lady.
Okay. All right. Good. Thank you. So what is it exactly that you do want? Like, what do you want? What do you want this to look? What do you want?
I want to get paid. I want to get paid for what I do. I want the insurances taking half of this, you know, wow. And then I want to be a dentist the way I originally wanted to be a dentist. I didn't know that I was going to have to deal with insurance companies and half my schedule falling out. Now I'm working Friday nights and somebody told me to work Saturdays now. So like, I didn't sign up for this.
I don't blame you. I would hate working Friday nights too. And all of that. I would absolutely hate it. So I do not blame you one bit. So what would you say if I told you that I know someone in your community or near your community or in a community like your community that has had different results than you've had? What would you believe me if I said that? I specifically know someone, a dentist, in a similar community to yours that has had really great results.
Wrap my brain around that. And I would want to know, what do they honestly do?
Okay.
In order to create better results than that.
Because the cool part is they wanted the same things you articulated. They were as frustrated. They were, but the only difference between them and what it seems like the approach that you're taking is they tried some new things and they had a coach that helped them through the process. So I would love to introduce them because they would, I'm positive, be willing to let you come and shadow for a half, whatever, so that you could see for yourself what that looks like, and then decide if that truly feels good. Because here's what I know for anyone. We only make change and go through the process of change when what we want or the stressors of change and that whole process looks better than staying where we are.
Right.
The pain of the change is less than the pain of staying. So if the pain of staying where you are in this marketplace, in your community, and Friday nights and having such a struggle, if that's bigger than the pain of taking some different steps and doing something, because what we know for sure, right, is we keep doing the same thing, we get the same
result. Right. So
here's what I want you to know, Kurt. You don't have to do anything. I am not presenting something and saying people have to do. What I am saying is I have clients and I know practices that have had success with this program, this process. And all I'm inviting you to do is take a look at an option that has worked for many, and it's worked for my own business.
Yeah.
In service of that. So I invite you to take a look at it, and then you have to decide if it fits for you. You really do.
Yeah. And I really like that because your choice of language is very, it's very open, like invite. I'm noticing like just subtle. It's when you invite, you use the word open, you know, it's not a rebuttal, like you said, where you're trying to convince somebody of the other point. Can I throw sure. I would imagine if a dentist is watching this, the thing that keeps them up the most, if it isn't money problems, is a team member that's sucking the life out of them. Now, you know, everybody's had an energy sucker. Everybody's hired a crazy person. And if you haven't hired a crazy person, you just have to, just so you can have the experience and say, I'm never doing that again. But let's say I got a crazy person, right? I got an energy sucker who's sucking the life out of me. And my dental assistant has now stopped me in the hallway and go, okay, it's me or her, pick.
Yeah.
I can't do it anymore. That woman is crazy. She's mean. She's arrogant. You got to do something. Or else we're all leaving. Okay, I'm the dentist. Walk me through this one.
All right. Well, first of all, if the other person came to me, I would never have a conversation without the other person involved. I would never have that. I always want all parties there. That's the only way I'll do it. But let's just say that I've decided, which I think is where you were going, I've decided as a dentist that this person is definitely sucking the life out of the pride. We've got to have a change. And I've decided that. Once I've decided that, I'm going to sit down. And here's the kind of a, it's not a rule. That's not the right word. It's a context that I'm going to speak through. And the context is everyone is what we call at choice at all times. And what we mean by that is I'm at choice. I don't have to have any employees. I certainly don't have to have this employee, right? So I'm always at choice. No one's forcing me to have her or them or anybody. And they're at choice. They don't have to work here. They don't have to agree with the philosophies and the values. They don't. So when you, and you have to mean this for it to work, it has to be sincere. And I truly believe that the person who stood up and said, that's not true in your speech, and this woman that the dentist says she's got to go, and anything in between, that I respect those people. Mm-hmm. I respect that they have a right to have an opinion or values different from mine. They do.
Absolutely.
And with that level of respect, true respect, I'm able to go in, and now I'm not trying to convince them of anything. All I'm trying to do and will say is I first want to apologize. Now, this is the dentist. I want to apologize. And here's what I want to apologize or just take ownership of. I want to take ownership of the fact that there is an attitude and a skill set that is so important to me and is such a high value for me in my practice. And I clearly must not have communicated that very well to you, because you do not represent my version of that. And as the owner, it's my job to make sure that every employee who works for me is super clear on how important and basically non-negotiable it is to have a particular, you know, a positive attitude or to grow their communication skills so the rest of the team feels comfortable communicating with them. I need everyone to be on time, if not early, to work or whatever the things are, right? I need people to grow their communication skills with patients so patients say yes to treatment. Those are very high value skills for me. And I must not have made it clear. And so I want to do that now. I want to tell you that starting today, the attitude, the skills, or whatever it is that's at issue, right? You just fill in the blank, has to look different for you to continue to work here. And I want you to know that I fully respect that in me making this clear, this may not be a good fit for you. And I would totally respect that. I could, because I know this isn't going to be for everyone. And so if it's not a good fit for you, I just want you to know that I welcome that. I want you to work here. And I only want that to happen when you can feel good about your employment and I can feel good about your employment. And right now, that's not where we are. So I need to clarify it for you. And then I need you to let me know if you think that you're up for the challenge and the game and the work of changing this, because it's immediate. Right. And I just say, what do you think about that? And they have a choice.
Yeah.
They have a choice.
Yeah. And so in that frame, as you describe at choice, you're giving them the choice. And then you're also being super clear about the expectation you have moving forward. And then if they don't fall within those lines, they have chosen not to participate in that manner.
And we respect it. We don't judge it. I'm not judging it. I'm not calling them out as a bad person. They're, you know, the whole world is not going to agree with our set of values. I mean, when you say you need a positive attitude, that could mean 100 different things. On a scale of 1 to 10, it could be a million things, right? And so I think we have to make sure that we clarify, and all leaders take response. If it's not working in their business or in their families, we take responsibility. Maybe we weren't clear enough. Maybe we haven't held the line enough. Maybe we didn't call it early enough. How about we start the conversation by walking our talk, and we take responsibility for the breakdown? We just say, we wouldn't be here if I'd been clear sooner. So let me be clear now. I apologize for that, but let me be clear now. This is what has to happen. It's a non-negotiable. And I totally, totally mean this. I respect if you look at that and hear that and you say, I disagree with that. I can't live with that. I think I am positive. Then I will say, I totally get that. Your version of that, your definition of positive attitude is actually not the same as what I have in practice. Yeah.
Right.
And
right.
So you have a choice. You can either come bring your definition of positive attitude up to mine, or we can say we agree to disagree.
Right. I think what you said is so powerful because I've always thought there's two pivotal moments in any entrepreneur's career, especially a dentist, is number one, when you take full responsibility for what happens within the walls of your practice. Like you fully know, like everything that happens here falls on my shoulders, whether it's good, bad, indifferent, like indecent, doesn't matter. It's under my roof. And the second thing is where a dentist becomes a little bit more self-aware of how they contribute to their own problems.
Sure.
Because a lot of times they put it, their problems are here. Do you know? No. Like I know when I get like stressed or angry, how it contributes to my own problems later on. So I think this is huge. And Catherine, what advice would you give a young dentist? Like say I'm 32 and I'm like, Catherine, this is so easy for you, but you've been doing this a long time. Like I can't master this right away. Would you suggest just a little bit of practice, like a little bit of them?
If you're alive and breathing air, you have opportunities to practice every day with the person you have a disagreement with on the freeway, right? I mean, someone rear ends you on the freeway and you both get out of your cars, you're going to have an opportunity to practice, right? So you have opportunity, or with your family or with a colleague. If you're working as an associate doctor, and you're working for an owner doctor or a group of owners, you're going to have plenty of opportunities to practice the skill of really personal leadership and courageous conversations. And so I love it because it's a fun, like I said, it's a fun game to play. And I mean that in the strongest, most positive sense. It's a fun game to play to not only practice your skills all the time, but also to show the world there's a better way. The world's hungry for this.
Right.
And we're in an age of people not knowing how to not be offended or defensive, and instead just embrace with non-judgment how we say, all I'm doing is clarifying what I need, and then I'm allowing you the space to decide if you want to enter into that engagement. But I've already decided, as the owner of the business, as the manager of the business, or I could be an employee. I could be the new employee 2 weeks on the job, the sterilization clerk, and I could come and say, you know, I totally respect you, Kirk. Let's say you own the practice. I want you to know, Dr. Barrett, that I respect that you can run this practice. It's your practice. You're going to run it how you see fit. And I want you to know I totally respect that. And I am on a career trajectory that I want to be swift and fast. I have some dreams and things I want to pursue. And to do that, I need to make more money, probably twice as much as I'm making. So I want to work for a doctor and a company that can put me on a path of promotion. I'm willing to work for it. I'm willing to, and I'll totally understand if that doesn't fit for you. All you want is a sterilization clerk working for minimum wage. But I just need you to know that I have something different that I need, and that's what I'm looking for.
Right.
So even she has a courageous conversation to say, I've already decided this is what I need, and I'll respect if it isn't a good fit here. And I just want to talk through how does it look from your perspective. That's a courageous conversation. That's somebody who has personal leadership and knows how to say, I'm looking to find alignment. I'm looking to find alignment of values and goals and purpose. I'm not trying to convince you of my point of view. I'm trying to see if we align.
Yeah, and Catherine, this stuff is so good because if you're watching this, you already know these conflictual situations happen all the time, and how you handle them is going to determine the trajectory. And I always say, how far you go in dentistry is greatly dependent on how well you communicate, you know, with sure. patients, with team members and things. So, and I think that's one of the skills that dentists skip over as they enjoy a lot of technical courses, which are good, but your ability to communicate will determine how far your practice goes and how good the quality of life you have ultimately. And Catherine, I know, like, if I'm a young dentist watching this, there's a lot of opportunity to improve my communication skills. You guys do some facilitative courses. You do some workshops. You do two of them. One of them is your, that I know of, is your leadership two-day course. And then you also do a train the trainer course. Can you talk about what those are? What do you do in those?
Yeah, they're both two of my favorite things to do. We have a two-day, it's called Leaders of the Pride. And it is a personal leadership workshop. So we talk about mindsets of a leader, getting yourself on a strong, stable, emotional platform, and then opening your mouth. And the whole next day is about all the opportunities that leaders have. So if you're an owner, you have the opportunity to speak your vision into existence. And so we talk about how to have that. If you are a manager, you have lots of opportunities, whether that's doing a growth conference, an employee review with someone, or it's maybe having a one-on-one with an underperforming employee. How do you do that well so that you bring them up to speed quickly and it doesn't take forever? And they have lots of time to practice, of course, in the workshop. But we also take on just day-to-day, how do you help people prioritize their time, manage their time? You know, it's a leadership workshop. It's pretty intense. And we have a ball. So that's one. We're having that in November. I believe it's November 1st and 2nd. Don't quote me on that, but it's that first week of December, or of November. And then also the following week, I believe it's the 5th and 6th, we have a train the trainer and a train the speaker workshop. Both are 2 days. They're back to back. And the train the trainer workshop is really about, or for, people who are internal educators or trainers within their company, people who supervise other people and need to bring them, you know, onboard new people and need to train them quickly. Certainly, if anybody is a coach or consultant or that type of work or workshop leader, that course would be good. So everybody comes to that course already with curriculum, already with content, like your coaches. They have your content, beautiful content. So they already have the information they want to teach. They'd want to know how to teach it better, how to get the change quicker. So that course is about that. And then the Train the Speaker course is, of course, is for anyone who either wants to stand up before their team and be a better speaker or wants to literally add that component into their career and speak better from the stage. So we kind of go with the Warren Buffett quote that he felt that the best professional skill anybody could master in business would be the skill of public speaking.
Yeah.
And so it's a great business skill to have, to be able to pop up and deliver a well-crafted, well-told, well-delivered presentation. So,
amen.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you have to check it out if you haven't. Now, keep in mind, Catherine, people are listening on iTunes too. Now, if I want to find more about you on your website, can you give us your website address
and how to find you? You can find workshops and information on all three of those lanes, whether it's, you know, frontline skills like telephone skills and things, or the leadership, or train the speaker and train the trainer. You can find that at lionspeak.net, not .com. Lionspeak, L-I-O-N-S-P-E-A-K, lionspeak.net. And you just click on training or speaking or frontline skills, and it'll take you right to, or leadership, and it'll take you right to the workshops and the training.
Yeah. Well, Catherine, I'm so grateful. Every time we talk, you give me more homework to do. So like I've got like a good framework for potential situations that have conflict in them. And you give us, these are such good thinking processes. So I'm so crazy grateful. I want to have you back and just cover a whole bunch of other things. Cause I feel like I could throw any problem at you in dentistry and you'd be like, okay.
I don't know about that, but we always have a good time nonetheless.
So do me a favor, just stick around while we say goodbye to everybody else. But thank you guys for watching. And if you enjoyed today, just do us a favor, hit the share button, check out Catherine's courses. You'll absolutely love them. You can actually reach out to her and she's great at responding and helping you out. And keep sending us suggestions, things that you'd love to see from Catherine. I'll get her back and we'll cover those topics and bring you guys some great solutions. And so until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy the rest of your day. We'll